see you today. Man, we got such a friendly church. Hey, we are wrapping up our series called Less Stress, and I hope that you've been able to walk away with some things that have been helpful, because the reality is all of us deal with stress or anxiety or worries from time to time. Am I right? I hope so. Thank you, the three of you that responded to that. It's interesting, several years ago, Time Magazine ran a cover story called Understanding Anxiety, and what I find so curious about is that Time Magazine saw in our culture this pandemic level of anxiety and worry that they dedicated an entire article just to understanding stress. I'm going to give you a couple of statistics here this morning to help us just understand a little bit culturally what we're dealing with. It comes from a study called The Economic Burden of Anxiety Disorders, just in case you want to read that in your spare time. It's really interesting. It's published in Journal of Clinical Psychiatry. This is what they found. They found that anxiety disorders are the most common mental health illness in the United States, affecting 40 million people in our country. Now, we're not talking about a little bit of stress. We're not talking about a little bit of anxiety or worry. We're talking about clinical levels where they need to see health professionals. 40 million people. That's roughly, I don't know if you know the population of the United States. Don't correct me if I'm wrong. That's like 1 in 10. That's a lot of people that are affected by this. They also found this, that anxiety disorders cost the U.S. more than $42 billion every single year. I mean, it's such a huge level of how people in our culture in the United States are experiencing stress and anxiety and being struggling with that. Now, it's interesting even more than the studies is what our culture is offering as a solution. So culturally, if you're asked the question, okay, what's the solution to my stress or my anxiety or my excessive worrying or things like that, they would say, okay, you need to try some alternative remedies. You need to try behavioral or cognitive therapy. You need to get antidepressants or minor tranquilizers. And I'm certainly not saying that medication is wrong. All I'm saying is that for so many people, doctors and culture are offering remedies that don't address the issue. They're masking and medicating the issue. So many people are dealing with stress and anxieties and worry on such a huge level, and yet our culture doesn't have anything to offer that's really addressing the issue. And so the question I want to broach this morning is, does God have anything to say about the worry that is consuming our culture today? And I just want to let you know some good news. In fact, he does. And if you've got your Bibles, let's open up to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to land there this morning. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 6 and 7. And we're just going to read this first line, these first couple words. It says this, be anxious for nothing. Let's read those words again. Ready? Be anxious for nothing. One more time. Be anxious for nothing. That word anxious means this. It means this extreme uneasiness of mind. I don't know if you've ever experienced that before, but it's just like your mind is consumed by worry. It also means this brooding fear of some future disaster. Now, here's a very non-clinical definition if you're taking notes this morning. Here it is. That anxiety is anticipating the future and the worst possible scenario and freaking out about it. Anxiety is anticipating the future and the worst possible scenario and freaking out about it. It's like where we try to carry the weight of the future by ourselves, and we're trying to carry this anxiety, things that we probably can't even control, and it's like a burden that we place on our shoulders, and the more we worry, it's like it more weighs us down. And here's how what ends up happening so often is something will happen with our finances. We get an unexpected bill in the mail that we can't afford, or something happens at work. We're expecting a promotion and we don't get it. We were anticipating it, but we don't get it. Or something happens, there's a relational strain in our family between spouses or with our kids, and we're worried and we're consumed by it. Or you go to the doctor and you get a report that you weren't expecting. We pick up this thing and it's like we end up just carrying around this burden on our shoulders, and it weighs us down. What's interesting about anxiety, I love how Charles Spurgeon, he's the great preacher, he said it like this. He says, our anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but only empties today of its strength. That's what it feels like, doesn't it? Now we worry about this, and yet our worry doesn't offer any solution to tomorrow's problem. It just empties today of our joy, of our peace, of all that God is promising, that it just weighs us and empties us of our strength. And so the Apostle Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Now, just so we really understand this, I've got maybe one of my better horrible illustrations, but hopefully it'll get this. So be anxious. We're going to play a little game called, is this nothing or something, okay? You ready for this? Is this nothing or something? All right, I'm going to pull this out of the bag. I found this outside today. Is this nothing or something? Help me out. That's a sharp people. Okay, this is cool. If you hit it, it lights up. Is this something or nothing? Something. All right, let's try this. Is this something or nothing? You guys are 3 for 3. I hope that you guys are all saying it's something. All right, this is Sarah's Brazilian jiu-jitsu medal that she won yesterday. Second place in world competition. I'm only telling you that because if you ever try to mess with me, you got to go through my wife first. So just, is this something or nothing? All right, okay, you guys are so good at this game. Here's the deal. Nothing is an interesting word because if you have something, then it's not nothing. Am I correct? Right? If you've got something, then it's not nothing. Nothing is nothing. And Paul says, be anxious about nothing. Does this mean that we're supposed to look at life through rose-colored glasses? That we're not supposed to face reality? Are we supposed to believe that sin is not real, that sickness is not real, that problems are not real? Are we to ignore these things? Of course not. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul says that we are to worry about nothing. It's not that we're not supposed to address these things or deal with these things or something like that. He says we're to worry about nothing. But instead of worrying, anytime Paul says, do not do this, he always gives us an alternative action. And Paul says, be anxious about nothing, but instead, what's he tell us to do? But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. He says, don't worry. Instead of worrying, here's what you should do. You should pray. He says, be anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition. That means in a conversation with God, you just simply lay before him what's consuming you, what's worrying you, what's giving you anxiety. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. That means with gratitude in your heart, present your request to God. That means that there is no time, there's no place, there's no topic, no subject that's off limits for God our Father. I remember growing up, and I know we've shared pieces of this story over the years, but 23 years ago, we moved to Agoura Hills, and when we got here, my parents worked like crazy. I think they were working something like 90 hours a week. They were pastoring the church half of that time, preparing sermons, taking care of the church. The other half was taking care of the property and landscaping and buildings about 90 hours a week. And I remember distinctly that time being a very busy time for my folks, but I also remember that during that time, I always knew that if I needed something at any point, no matter how inconvenient it may be, they would drop everything to deal with it and to take care of me and to provide for me. I knew that. And I know that's an incomplete picture of God our Father, but God our Father, sometimes we so often get this impression that God is like, you know, I've got this little thing over here, and if I ask God, surely he's dealing with bigger things over here. And there's interesting, there's three words that theologians have come up with trying to give us an impression of what God our Father is like. Three words, they all start with O. One of them is that when they read the story of Scripture, they say that God is omnipresent. That means that God is 100% everywhere at all times. That means just because he is caring for and loving people in another part of the world doesn't mean that he's not 100% available to you. They say that he's omnipresent. They also say that God is omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful. That means that just because he is answering prayers over here doesn't give him any less strength or power to answer our prayers over here. Just because he's dealing with something over here, that doesn't mean he's using 90% of his power here and only has 10% available for us. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. That's the third one. That means God is 100% present every single place at all times. And when you get a picture of what God is like, that he's omnipresent, he's omniscient, that he's omnipotent, you get an understanding that God is 100% available to you at all times, in all seasons, in all places. That we have a God who is available to us. And so when Paul says, be anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, he's not saying, you know, if God's not too busy. He's not saying, you know, don't worry, but pray just as long as you catch him at the right time. He's saying at all times, at all places, in all seasons, no matter what's worrying you, no matter what's consuming you, take it to God. Instead of worrying, I want you to pray. And there's this beautiful, amazing promise that Paul talks about. Be anxious about nothing. Instead, pray. And when we do that, when we lay aside our worry and we take our worry to God in prayer, something happens. Paul says, and the peace of God. It's this experience of freedom for the soul. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which it means that it won't make any sense. People will look at your life, family and friends will look at your life and say, you should be freaking out right now, but you're not. Why? And you could say, I don't know, it's just God. It says, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul, who's writing this, specifically uses a military term when he says, will guard your hearts and minds. It's this picture of this military garrison stationed outside of your heart and your mind, protecting your emotions, so that even though it may seem like there's a reason to worry or to have anxiety or to be consumed with these things, you won't, because instead of worrying, you've taken it to God in prayer. And his peace, which transcends all understanding, has guarded your hearts and your minds. In other words, there is no time, there is no place, there is no situation where God your Father does not want you to take what you're anxious about to him in prayer. That our response in all things, good times and bad times, is just simply prayer. If you're taking notes, you can write this in, that you will experience peace as you pray, not because God says yes to every request, but because he will free us from the need to stress. See, God does not say yes to every request that we make, just like a good parent doesn't say yes to everything that their kids ask for. But when we pray and we cast our anxieties on him, he frees us from the need to be consumed by that thing, to stress about that thing. He frees us from the need to stress. It's interesting, right before the verses that we've been studying, verses 6 and 7, chapter 4, verse 5, the Apostle Paul just uses four simple words that seem a little bit out of context. He just says, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. And it's interesting because in order to really receive this promise that God has for us to pray about everything and to receive his peace, in order to really do that, you have to believe that God is near. You've got to believe that God is for you, that God is with you, that God has not abandoned you, that God has not left you on your own, that then when you understand that God is near, then you'll experience the peace that he has for you. See, the peace doesn't happen just from saying a group of words, throwing them up into the air, or trying to find the right combination of prayers to use like a magic incantation. It's just simply knowing who God is, what he's like, that he's for you, that he loves you, that he's present with you. And when you understand that, when you understand who God is and his unshakable character and his incredible passion for you, when you understand that, it turns worry into an opportunity to pray and experience the peace that God wants you to experience. Many of you have probably heard of the Ten Boom family. They were Dutch Christians during World War II, and they had made it their goal to rescue as many Jews trying to escape the Holocaust as possible. They had a place hidden in their house where they would house them, and just an incredible story. But one day, an informant told the Nazis about the Ten Booms, and immediately that day, they captured all of them, and they sent their family off to different concentration camps. Well, Corrie Ten Boom was with her sister, and they got sent to Ravensbrück, and if you know, it's one of the worst concentration camps. It was for females, so they did medical experiments on the prisoners, and Corrie Ten Boom experienced just absolute atrocity, and her sister ended up passing away, and miraculously, Corrie Ten Boom got released from the prison just the days after her sister had passed away, and years after the experience, Corrie Ten Boom, all of her family was killed during that time. And years after that, she wrote a book called The Hiding Place, just recounting her story. And it's amazing. You would think that a person that experienced that level of atrocity, that had experienced that level of suffering and, and all of that would have a different perspective. But listen to what she says. In fact, you can write this down in your notes if you're writing them. She said that you never have to be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. That you never have to be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Paul says the Lord is near. He is with you. He is present with you. He cares about what you're... You never have to be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. See, there are so many things in our life that are beyond our control, but we don't need to control our circumstances when we trust in God. And I think that there are some of us here that have spent a lifetime being consumed by anxiety and worry and stressing about things that God has not invited you to stress out about. See, Paul's words, be anxious about nothing. If we're honest, they're easier said than done, aren't they? I mean, it's easy to say, don't worry about it, just pray about it. They're easier said than done. There have been seasons, I'm sure, in your life, like mine, where you go to bed and you're consumed by an issue or something going on and you can't sleep and you wake up and you're still consumed by it, and maybe it's not just a night, maybe it's a season of your life and it's eating at you and eating at your soul and you're consumed by worry. One of the things that I've found helpful, and I think that I got this from my dad, we call it praying with a pencil. It's just you get a journal and you open it up to a blank page, and you in the presence of God with your pencil begin to write down everything that you're anxious about, everything that you're worried about, everything that you're stressed about. And what I've found so often times in my life is the greater level of stress, it's subconsciously I'm worried about something that I don't even know that I'm stressed about. And so as you worry, as you write these things down, if there's something you can't control, you say, Father, I can't control this. But I thank you that you're with me and that you love me and I trust you and I give it to you and I ask that you do something about this thing that I can't do for myself. If there's something that you can do about, right next to it, you just write an action step. And after a while, after you've spent some time praying with a pencil, you'll find yourself experiencing the peace that God is offering. You find yourself walking away from that moment with a greater level of faith, with a greater level of trust in God, with a greater level of anticipation of what God is going to do when you just simply consciously decide to pray with a pencil. And I don't know why exactly making prayer more animated has been so helpful for me, but I know it's not just me. For a lot of people, as they cast their cares on God, as they write these things down and put them before the Father and say, God, I trust you with this. I can't do anything about it. Would you do something? It energizes their faith like never before. There's a great, great passage of scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Probably many of you have memorized it. It says, cast all your cares on him. You know why? Because he cares for you. And I think so oftentimes when we go through stressful situations or seasons, it's easy to lose sight of the fact that God cares for you, that he loves you, and that he is with you. Cast all your cares on him. Because he cares. So cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That word for cast in the Greek language is the word ekbalo, and it literally means to throw it away. Everybody got a sticky note on your message notes, and the team is up here, and we're going to give everybody an opportunity to literally apply this, what Peter says this morning. And as the team plays through this song, I want to invite you on that sticky note, write everything down that you're worried about. Everything that you've got anxiety over, anything that you're stressed about, write it down. Nobody's going to dig through this trash can and read your notes. We're going to take this, and we're going to go throw them away. We're going to cast them away. But right now, I'm going to invite you to write those down and then crumple it up. And as soon as you're done, come and throw it in this trash can. Get back to your seat, and let's worship the Father this morning.